several weeks now. We started out looking at understanding the church. We looked at understanding the purpose of the church. Then we looked at understanding the local church. And now this morning we're going to be looking at understanding membership in the local church. At the end of last year we had some baptisms, and that was a wonderful, awesome experience. We had 8 baptisms here at our church and dedication. And the next step after baptism is membership. And so it's important to understand what is that all about, and that's what we're going to answer this morning. But I want to start with a question. I want you to raise your hand if you are a minister. Raise your hand if you are a minister. Got a few here this morning. 4, 5, 6. Okay, I'm going to read you a verse. I realize that is a trick question. So I'm going to read you a verse, and then you'll be able to answer that question a little bit more intelligently. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the saints, who are believers in Christ, people that have been saved by God's grace, are to do the work of the ministry. So I want you to raise your hand if you are a saint and should be doing the work of the ministry. Yeah. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you should have your hand raised. You are a minister of the gospel, a minister of Jesus Christ. And so we all are to be doing God's work. Every believer is a minister. When we look at church membership, we can see a lot of examples throughout Scripture of church membership. There is no verse that says, go to your local church and join. Thou shalt join the local church is not one of the commandments in the Bible. But it gets pretty close to that, and we'll see that this morning. The first thing that membership is identification. Much in the same way that we talked about baptism being identification of what we've already experienced in salvation through Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we become saved. And when we get baptized to identify to everyone else what's already taken place. And so baptism is identification. And membership in the local church is identification in much the same way. Let's look at Acts chapter 5:11-16. It says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now Solomon's porch is a part in the temple. And so they were all gathered together, the church, in one accord, meaning with one purpose, with one spirit, in unity, no division, in one accord, in Solomon's porch. And then verse 13 says, yet none of the rest dared join them. There's a lot of Jews standing back saying, I'm not quite sure I want to be a part of that. When I was out in Montana, I worked with the John Birch Society. And I went around and we tried to spur up people to do some good works. And educating people about our country, about the need to return back to following biblical principles of government. Getting back to the ways our founders taught. And there would be a lot of people that you would come across, and they'd say, you know, I'm just not really a joiner. I'm just not somebody who really joins things and gets involved. That sounds like some of the people right here. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. There's probably a lot of people in the world today that says, you know, that church, they probably do a lot of good things. I'm just not really a joiner. You might ask the question, can I be a Christian without joining other believers in a local church? The answer is yes. It is something like being a soldier without an army, or being on a football team and being the only player out there. You can do it, but you're not really going to get very far, and it's going to be very difficult to fulfill your calling and purpose. That verse 11, it says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. This is the church body, the one that's meeting in Solomon's porch. The word there in the Greek is ekklesia. It's translated church. The word is found both in the Greek, or both has both a Greek and a Hebrew background. In the Greek background, it was described or used in the city-states of ancient Greece, and it was described to use a collection of citizens who were citizens, and they were exercising their civil rights. And the sound of a trumpet would call the people, and they would assemble, and they would vote to decide the policies of that city. And then when they were gathered together, they were called, that was called ekklesia. In Greek culture, the meeting started with a prayer and a sacrifice and gave it a religious nature. On the Hebrew side of things, the Hebrew background reveals itself in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The word ekklesia is used to translate the Hebrew word kahal, which comes from the word meaning to summons. The word is used about the congregation of Israel. So we see from these two different words here, or these two different backgrounds, the word ekklesia in the New Testament means the called out ones, or the body of people whom God has called together to meet with him. It talks about, it's used to describe a universal church. It's used to describe a particular local church. And it's used to describe believers who have followed Christ. So the idea of the church is people who are called out to serve God. And that is every believer. Paul says, we looked at it last week, that there's one there's one spirit which baptizes us into the church. And here at Memorial Baptist, we've recognized that call. And we've decided, since we are all ministers of the gospel, let us come together and minister together. And so if you have your constitution, I'm hoping that all of you have a constitution. If you don't, you can raise your hand and Alan will get you one. But if you have your church constitution with you, open it up. Or actually, you don't have to open it up. I think it's on the first page. It's it's the very first thing on our constitution. It says, placing our faith completely in the Lord, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, believing in the teachings and practices of the Baptists and those great distinctive principles for which they stood, namely, one, the preeminence of Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord, and Master, two, the inspired authority of the Bible as our only rule of faith and conduct, three, soul liberty, the right of private interpretation, and the competency of the individual soul in the direct approach to God. Now, if soul liberty is a new term to you, I'm sure it is to many. This is a new term to me not too long ago. Soul liberty just means this, that each of us in our own souls has the liberty to choose what to believe. Some people might believe the Bible. Some people might not believe the Bible. But God has given us that liberty to decide what we want to believe. And that correspondingly also goes with a responsibility to face judgment. We will all stand before God on judgment day and give an account for what we believe. We don't persecute people who believe other faiths. That's not what we believe in Baptists. Soul liberty is the right of each person to believe what they want, private interpretation, but they would also stand before God and give an account. Each person will give an account for what they believe. Number four, the absolute separation of church and state. Number five, a regenerate church membership. Regenerate means saved. All those who are a part of the church are ones that have been saved. Number six, believers' baptism by immersion. We exercised that a few weeks ago. Number seven, the complete independence of the local church. Number eight, the congregational form of church government. The solemn obligation of the majority rule, guaranteeing equal rights to all and special privileges to none. Number nine, the spiritual unity of all Christian believers, for which our Lord so earnestly prayed. Number 10, the proclamation of the gospel throughout the world. We therefore band ourselves together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ and adopt for our government, plan of worship, and services. We band together ourselves as a body of believers in Jesus Christ and adopt for our government, plan of worship, and services, and the following. So we see here that this is the introduction, if you will, to our Constitution. And it's the reason why we have a Constitution. It's the reason why we have a church service. It's the reason why we have this building. It's to come together and to exercise these things which we realize is our responsibility from the Bible. The Bible is our authority. And so when we come together in membership, we're saying, hey, we all agree on these things. Let's get together. Let's come together and minister together. And so those who have joined this church have answered that call. Now, what is it that we join together and believe besides those things listed? If you turn over to Article 5, which is the next page. You see confessions of faith. These are the things that we uphold. First of all, the scriptures. We believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that it is the supreme and final authority in matters of faith and life. Two, God. We believe in one God, holy, sovereign, eternal, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he lived a loving and sinless life, showing us the Father, suffered and died for the sin of the world, and rose again on the third day. Man, we believe that man was created in the image of God, but through voluntary disobedience, now is also a creature of sin by both nature and action. Salvation, we believe that the salvation of sinners is completely by grace, received by faith in Jesus Christ, who by his death made atonement for our sins. Church, we believe that a visible church of Christ is a congregation of baptized believers who observe the ordinances of Christ, who worship together, and who seek to walk daily, conscious of his loving presence and in obedience to the holy directives of his word and spirit. Of things to come, we believe that the end of the world is approaching, that at the last day Christ will descend from heaven to gather his own to himself and to judge all mankind, that the ungodly will be released to eternal separation from God, while those in Christ will be welcomed into the perfect joy of God's presence forever. You know, there's a lot of talk about military people this morning. There's military people that have lost limbs. You know, you can live without your hands. You can live without your legs. You can live without your eyes. You can live without your ears. You can live without a kidney. Interesting, isn't it? Because the body of Christ, the church, it can live without certain parts too. But it works so much better when all the parts are present and functioning. You know, you think about some of these, and you've probably seen a video. Somebody. I saw one, I think just this last week. A guy was playing the guitar with his foot. Right? Looks kind of silly. But it's also kind of amazing that he didn't even do it. But just think about probably how much better of a guitar player the guy would be if he had all of his fingers and toes. And it's the same with the church. We must all be fulfilled in that part. And that is our brings up our next point, is obedience. Membership is identification. It's identification with the universal church. You say, I understand that I am a believer. I am therefore a part of God's universal church. And so identify with the local expression of God's body in Christ, of the body of Christ. And so I join this as an identification with my realization of what's already happened in joining the universal church. But we also have an obedience factor here as well. We have a role to play. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about this. He says, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. We all have a job to do. My job is to get up here and teach. But you also have a job to do. And I can't do my job properly if I'm doing my job and your job and your job. Dwight has a job to do as an elder. He can't do his job if he's doing four other people's jobs as well. Now, it doesn't mean we can't continue to function, because we can. But we might look like that guy playing guitar with his foot. It might look a little crazy sometimes. Or it might be that we can't do the things that God has called us to do, because we're not all operating or in obedience to God. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This morning I tell you today, you have a gift of the Spirit. You have been given a gift of the Spirit. You might say, Pastor, I don't think so. I don't know what the gift is. If you want to know what your gift is, come and talk to me and I will help you discover your gift. But I'll tell you this. The best way to find it is to get started in serving God. And the more you serve God, the more you will start to recognize, yeah, this is what I like to do. This is what God has equipped me to do. God might not have equipped you to study theology, to defend theology, to go through and make a defense of our faith to the world around us. He might not have given you the gift of teaching. He might have given you the gift of health. He might have given you the gift of healing and ministering to those who are sick and need help, need prayer. God has given you a gift through the Holy Spirit. And as the body of Christ, we must all exercise our gifts. We see that the purpose of Memorial Baptist, if you look at our Constitution, the purpose is at the bottom of page 1. It says, the purpose of this church shall be the advancement of the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, through public worship of God, preaching the gospel, administration of the New Testament ordinances, which are the Lord's Supper, believer's baptism, consistent Christian living of its members, efforts of personal evangelism, missionary endeavor, and Christian education. The purpose of this church is not to perform a service on Sunday morning. That is not the mission. That's not the goal. The purpose of the church is to come together as a local body and to be about what God has called us to, what the head is directing us to do. Daily living according to our Christian principles. Evangelizing to others. Supporting missionary endeavors. Educating ourselves according to God's word. Back in 1925, an evolutionist stated at the Tennessee Scopes trial that there were no less than 180 vestigial structures in the human body. They believed that all of those structures no longer served a useful purpose, but were leftovers of the evolutionary process. For example, they used to believe the tailbone was left over from evolution. Or the appendix was a leftover thing. We didn't serve any function at all for the body. They had 180 vestigial structures in the human body. Today, through science, through discovery, we found out that there's actually about this many. Zero. Vestigial structures left over from something that never happened, evolution. Even the mysterious appendix is now known to help produce antibodies and prevent bacteria in the colon reaching the bloodstream. No body part is useless. The church needs to once again believe this message. You know, in the church, I think we bought into that message. That vestigial structures are okay. It's okay to come here and do nothing. I'm just one of those that got, I'm a leftover from way long ago. No, that is not what God has called us to. There are no vestigial structures. We need everyone. There is no body part that is useless. Each one of us must do our part in order for us to function as God designed. And that starts with church membership. So we see that it's identification, we see that it's obedience, but it's also accountability. We see that throughout the New Testament church, there is an accountability structure set up for believers. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, the elders who are among you I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, elders are responsible for the local body. We talked a little bit about that last week. The elders are responsible for the local body. Well, the question is, who are the elders responsible for? Is Dwight responsible for everyone in Parkston who considers themselves a believer? Am I responsible for everyone in the greater area who has received Christ as their Savior? The elders are responsible for those who have joined the local body and placed themselves under their responsibility. And that's done by membership. We also see that the local body has a responsibility to the elders, to obey them. 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, let the elders who rule be well counted. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So the elders have a responsibility to watch over, to protect, to encourage, to help you grow in your faith. You have a responsibility to be in an obedient relationship with the elders, to follow them, to allow them to guide you. Just as Christ is the great shepherd, Gaylord is a local shepherd. God has placed him here in charge to do the work that he has called him to do. So what is it that we need to be accountable for? Or what are we accountable to in this elder body example? Well, our Constitution lays that out. In Article 4, it starts at the bottom of page 1 and goes to the Confessions of Faith on page 2. Article 4, Church Covenant. Having been led by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God and this assembly joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We do therefore in his strength pledge general loyalty that we will strive to promote the prosperity and spirituality of this church and sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine. Faithful attendance, that we will assemble ourselves together for instruction, prayer, evangelism, business, and worship. Devotional life, that we will maintain family and private devotions, bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, seek for the salvation of our relatives, friends, and acquaintances. Christian personality, that we will seek the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, as opposed to pride, anger, envy, impurity, gluttony, slothfulness, avarice. In order to preserve the unity of the church and maintain its testimony before others, remembering that God has given us the Spirit of love and of a sound mind. Brotherly love. That we will watch over one another in brotherly love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress. That we will be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. Careful conduct. That we will walk wisely before the world and refrain from any of its habits that are foes of spiritual growth. Obedient stewardship. That we will cheerfully and regularly, according to our ability, contribute of our means toward the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the needy, and the spread of the gospel throughout the world. Those are the things that we've agreed to come together and be held accountable to. You might say, I'm not doing some of those things. Well, then we're not doing our job. As elders, we aren't doing our job. And that's an area that we are hoping to grow into. We are hoping to grow into a body that fulfills those very things. For as elders, we are continually challenging you to make sure you are doing the things that as members, we've covenanted to agree to do. That's our job, is to be over you, not in the sense of ruling over you with a thumb and making you feel bad, puffing ourselves up, but in the example that Christ led. First, we are an example. First, we are doing these things. And then we are coming alongside of you and saying, how can I help you do these things? Because they are so important to your spiritual walk, to your growth, to your relationship with God. Now, the God of peace that brought again the dear Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. That is what our Constitution is about. There's other things in there. Feel free to read them. But that is the heartbeat of what we are as a Memorial Baptist Church. And we would like, if you are not a member, for you to join us so you can identify with the larger universal body, but expressing that here in Parkston. So you can obey the order, the standard of God's word in joining together, making sure that we're joining together, walking together, being in an accountability relationship with our local church that the word has called us to do. There's a story is told about a believer who was stone cold deaf, couldn't hear a thing. He's dead. Couldn't hear a thing. But yet that, even though they were deaf, they faithfully attended church and participated in the local church. And they were members. Somebody asked them once, why do you bother coming to church when you can't hear a thing? You can't hear the music. You can't hear the sermon. You can't hear anything. Why even come to church? And they said this, I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. Christians are like snowflakes. They're frail. But when they join together, they can stop traffic. Let's pray.